Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Hey, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, your host, and with me as always is Jay Kranda. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you. I'm so excited about today's show because we got my friend Ben Farr and on staff at Saddleback Church, helps with technology on the spiritual maturity team and a lot more. So welcome, Ben.
Glad to be here, Jay.
So Ben, tell us a little bit more about what you do there at Saddleback and how you got the job there.
At Saddleback, I do a few different things. Primarily, it's designing systems to bring people closer to Jesus is kind of the ballpark. So I get to build technology that brings people closer to Jesus, believer and non-believer. I got here because I was in the startup world for a number of years working at companies like Buy.com and House and some other ones, and got recruited by a tall, skinny Dutch twin to join the team.
You're talking about the Muhlenberg twins.
Yes, I am.
That's great, which we need to have them on the show soon. But so, Ben, just question right off the bat that I wanted to roll by you. You've been part of technology both now within the church world and outside of the church world. My question is, what do you think as you've kind of dived into the church world? And I actually know you have a unique perspective on top of it because your wife also has served for many years in the church kind of, you know, role in that world. And my question is, what do you think the church is doing wrong with technology?
I don't think they're doing everything wrong, but I think one of the biggest parts that I see in the church and technology is just being confined by limitations. You know, I mean, I talk about online campus a lot just because, or online church, that's really the only thing that the church is doing that I've seen that's made any type of expansion. So I'm going to talk about that. You know, every online campus I've ever seen is limited to the week of that sermon. So they're limiting it by time and geography. So, you know, time and geography are the two things that kind of free you up online. And online churches, for some reason, live within that. You know, Online churches only show that week. They only show live. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is duration. You know, I feel like a lot of churches feel like they can take their weekend program that is, I don't know, on average, ballpark an hour-ish. I don't know. And they just throw it online, thinking that people online will actually watch for an hour, which is just, to me, completely unrealistic. So the only market that I see people reaching is people who are already a fan of your church, already believers. And if that's what you're going for as a church, then that's great. So if you want to have online church for members who miss church, then that's fine. But in my mind, you can't just duplicate what's done on the weekend and put it online and expect to have the same results.
So if you were king for your day, Ben, what would you do? So if you went to a new church down the road and they said, hey, we want to go online, we want to break down barriers and limitations, you've got the keys, you've got an unlimited budget, what do you do with that?
I think as far as like online church goes, I think I would more try to focus on entertainment. The internet is extremely egotistical. It's self-indulgent. I mean, that is what the internet is. People can go online and get info when they want it, where they want it. They can, I mean, even, you know, even with, I mean, this is, I don't know why this popped in my head, but even like the porn industry, you know, like it's one of the biggest industries, if not the biggest online. You no longer, you don't have to, you know, be out in public to get this type of content. It's, you can hide in your house and nobody will know, you know? So for me, you almost have to meet people where they're at. So I would say avoid a long, hour-long service. Like that to me, I mean, music is completely unnecessary in any type of online church environment. I think that's just...
And we have this debate, Ben, and just to kind of let people know, Ben and I literally like sit back to back. And we often have a lot of debates around online church and user experience, what's best, what fits that. So even him saying that music is not necessary, like I disagree. I think there's a way you can do it. I think there's a better way we can do it. So
and you said entertainment though. What does that look like? So if my mind immediately went to music when you said entertainment online, and you said an hour is too long. Is 15 minutes the ideal time? 5 minutes? 30 minutes? King for a day. What do you do? And what is that entertainment?
I mean, I would stick to 12, 13 max, absolute max 15 minutes. You know, I look at like a website like TED.com, that's TED Talks, you know, and they have managed to take content, which would normally be considered boring, and made it extremely engaging. It's a different speaker every time you go on TED. You can go back and watch your favorites if you want, easily navigationable. And it's not limited by time. You know, those TED presentations come from actual physical events. But when you go on the TED Talk website, you're not like thinking, I want this week's TED Talk. You're just wanting the most popular one. You're wanting the ones that people are talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the church could learn a lot from, is the limit on time at TED Talks, the creativity, the different speakers, you know, no limit on when stuff happened. It's just more of popular, trending, categorized. You know, online churches have no sense of category. You know, we kind of, online churches kind of just say, here's the message for this week. So no matter what you're going through, this is what you're going to have, and maybe it's going to stick. Whereas, you know, like a TED Talk, you can say, you know what, I want to see something funny right now because that's what I need, and I can find a funny TED Talk. Or I want to see something ingenious or inspirational. You know, I think that is where we could learn a lot from as far as like online church goes.
So I'm curious then, from a platform perspective, when it comes to TED Talks, and I like to watch TED Talks, I primarily watch them on YouTube. Now, you're a platform builder. Would you rather, if you were starting over, would you rather build that platform, come to my site and watch our videos? Or do you really think social media, YouTube, Facebook, one of these social networks is the ideal place? Or is it a both and, either or? How do you see that functioning?
I think that social media platforms are a great gateway and kind of the first impression. I would say the social media platforms are more like, I don't know, you're in a mall and, you know, there's, you know, you can kind of walk in a store and look around. But if you're going to engage and like talk to somebody and start to buy something, you know, that's when you can go to TED.com. I love going to TED. I watch them on YouTube too, because YouTube has the speed control, which is another feature that I think every online campus should have. I can watch YouTube videos 2x fast, and TED Talks, the website, doesn't do that. But I love saving the TED Talks that I like. I like organizing, and I like the way that TED.com does that. So I use both for different reasons. If I need to watch a 15-minute video in 7.5 minutes, YouTube. If I want to save it and put it somewhere where I can easily access it later, TED.com.
And I know the benefit of having your platform is you get to control more of the user experience. And I know that's something that is really up your alley. You've done that before. And in this role, really, you've been the key person building, kind of with Saddleback Church, a lot of our small group user experience. And really, it's a lot bigger than small groups. It's integrated into 24/7 living. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, why should churches, both online kind of outreaches and both physical churches, be thinking about user experience?
I think user experience really drives engagement on a website. You know, ever since, you know, the internet kind of was born, you have all these different arenas to kind of attract people. It used to be content. And content was the primary way that you got somebody, having unique content, because there wasn't, you know, a lot of people producing content. Well, that's become saturated since then. So there's other ways you have to access stuff. And now it's just an expectation that you have good content, not necessarily something you seek out. You expect it on a site. Same with like innovative technology. You know, innovative technology is something you expect on a website. But now I think design is becoming the big focus, especially towards user experience design, because that isn't something you necessarily expect every time on a website. So when you do get it, it stands out and people get engaged with that. So, I mean, I think user experiences should be, I mean, top tier as far as priority when it comes to doing ministry, church, anything online.
So how can a church, so most churches don't have a budget like Saddleback or Community Bible Church to work with and can hire multiple developers that even use the term user experience. How can they begin to even think about user experience, and what are some of the things that they need to pay attention to when it comes to hiring a developer or even looking at their website or social media or whatever that user experience might be?
Sure. I mean, I would say two things. One is educate yourself. There's a lot of resources, you know, like I said, content is everywhere. There is so much content on user experience. UX Mag is one of them. An Event Apart is a conference I just went to that is strictly user experience. I mean, these aren't like Christian-based stuff, but they really know what they're talking about with user experience. There's actually a great TED Talk by the girl who does user experience at Facebook, and she designed the like button because she had to do it for multiple platforms and stuff. So that's a really interesting TED Talk. InVisionApp.com is a user experience centered website that they have a blog, and they actually interview a lot of the user experience designers at different websites like Asana and Twitter and Evernote and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of good content there. And then I would say the other piece is, because education takes a lot of time, is outsource that trash. I outsource everything from development to deployment, anything dealing with the hard technology stuff. I outsource all over the world using a service called Odesk. And we get guys, depending on different skill sets, you know, if I need design, I'm sticking to Western Europe, you know, the UK, France, those guys are great at design. If I need a really high skill set, you know, back-end developer like Java or .NET, I'm going to Russia all day. If I need a PHP guy who, you know, HTML, CSS, I'm going to India. You know, and you eventually start to realize what people are good at. So outsourcing saves money, I mean, tenfold.
And I'll second that. I work with, personally, I've got three online virtual assistants from the Philippines. I used onlinejobs.ph to find them, and I've used Elance a number of times, so elance.com. Some great opportunities. So if you have a need of, like, I need a website built, you know, you can go to elance.com and say, I need my church website being built, and there are some folks overseas that can do it at a very affordable rate and really high-quality work. You can see their work. What if somebody's looking to outsource, you know, say their website or even a mobile app to be developed? I think it's the exciting thing now that you can pay somebody a fair wage, you know, and it's a very affordable rate for us. And legally, you know, I've gotten into the accounting stuff lately. It's really very common now. And so accountants know how to obviously budget that. So churches get freaked out of, like, what does this mean when I pay somebody in Romania? But it really, it's become a norm in development, but it's not a norm in churches. So what kind of questions should they ask? What should they be looking for when they're trying to hire somebody overseas?
Yeah, I mean, I would say use a platform like Odesk. Odesk is my go-to. And Odesk and Elance are now, they're merged, they're one service. Because Odesk has the platform to kind of help you with all of that stuff. You know, there's a feedback cycle on Odesk, so you can see past experience. They use a 5-star rating system, so you can see, like, kind of what ratings they have. And you're going to pay, you know, if you're getting a guy who's 5 stars, who has, you know, lots of hours on Odesk. You can see how many hours they've worked on Odesk. They have a way that you can track the developer's performance and stuff like that with a screenshot capture technology that they use. So use a platform, definitely. Or, call me if you want. I mean, shameless plug. I love helping people get set up with outsourcing and stuff like that, just because I think it's... To me, it's being a good steward. You know, it saves the church a lot of money. I mean, we've gone through a process of saving Saddleback a lot of money with outsourcing. And it's not necessarily like, I mean, I'm sure you don't do this either, Nels, but it's not paying people just disgustingly low wages. It's just paying them less than what greedy Americans want to make. So it's, you know, I have no problem ethically with, you know, a lot of people have asked me, like, well, like, you're paying them this. I'm like, well, I actually am paying way higher than what they would make there. It's not, we're not talking Walmart child labor here. We're talking, you know, just cheaper than Americans.
I don't know where this show has gone right now. This all sudden, like, we've just touched on the porn industry, outsourcing, like, it's just everywhere.
This is the social media church podcast, Jay.
I know. Hey, Ben. I don't know. I wanted to touch base. So obviously people, you know, obviously you manage people overseas. That's something you do. So they can go to your website, benfarr.com. You also have an exciting new project that you've been working on. And I know it's not available now, but people can go to the website and sign up to get an email to get notified when it is available. But tell us about pastorboard.com and why church leaders, pastors, people at churches should be using this service when it goes live.
So pastorboard.com is a service that you can go to pastorboard.com. You can sign up, you can log in, you can play with it. It's a work in progress, so there's going to be stuff that is kind of funky on there. But I would love for people to just start playing with it to get feedback and say, you know, you could do this or do that. It essentially just tracks everything, all of your data. So you can type in a number of how many people attend this event or that service. It tracks money. It tracks just a number. And then the way that you track that number is with tags. So the unique part about that is you can be as detailed as you want and say, let's say you're tracking your 9 o'clock service attendance. I can say 9 a.m. as a tag. I can say Pastor Jay spoke. I can say rainy weather. I can say Super Bowl Sunday, and be very detailed. So when you go back and look at that number, you can see kind of the variables that affected that number. Or you can be very vague and just say Sunday, 9 a.m. attendance, and that's it. So it really lets churches, pastors, whoever, organize their tracking any way they want to, because it's very open-ended. There's a reporting tool. It lets you kind of look at a graph and see what's trending. If you're going up in attendance or you're going down in attendance or with giving or, I mean, event attendance, whatever it is, you can track literally any number, you know, length of a sermon. If you're like our pastor and you want to cut down the length of your sermon, you know, you can track that as well.
So we use Excel at Community Bible Church for pretty much everything. How is this different from Excel? How is this the same? I see that you can export to Excel. What, can you explain the difference there?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Excel is, you know, kind of on the nitty-gritty side. And Excel obviously lets you do anything you want to. But a lot of the functions that you have to go through in Excel to sort and all that stuff, we do automatically. So like tags, for example, you can add tags to the numbers and organize that, sort it. You can search by tags. So you can quickly just type in like 9 a.m. and see all of your 9 a.m. The graphing is nice in the sense that you don't have to like, you know, in Excel, there's a process. You have to highlight stuff and do this and this and this. With graphing, you just go to reports and there's your graph. You can, you know, add multiple tags to the graph. You can do anything you want. So, I mean, it works a lot like Excel, honestly. You know, it's data input at the end of the day. But a lot of those like formulaic stuff, a lot of the process that you have to do manually, Excel does automatically in Pastorboard.
And then through the reports, it like visualizes your data.
Yep. Visualizes your data. Right now it's just bar graphs that you can sort and organize and stuff. But we're going to have pie charts and, you know, all sorts of ways to organize everything and just make, I think at the end of the day, I want churches to be able to make good decisions on user experience and process and stuff like that based on data and not just a gut feeling or the warm fuzzies.
Yeah. You know, I recently talked with our friends at Life Church about data visualization. We're using a tool called Tableau right now to really dig into data visualization or experimenting with it. And they actually have two full-time people that are just doing data visualization and the equivalent of 10 across their church. And obviously they're a very large church, but I think it is important that data has a seat at the table in our decisions and really understanding our numbers and what we're measuring and to be able to visualize it goes a long way. So I'm excited that you're creating this tool and churches can, you know, we don't need to obsess over numbers, but to really have measures of success are extremely valuable for churches. That's very exciting that you're creating this. And I'm seeing $10 a month and $20 a month, and there's even a free plan. That's unbelievably cheap. I don't want to tell you how much you're paying for Tableau, but it's a lot more than $20 a month. I can tell you that. Yeah.
And I will say right now, if you go in, because we're still a work in progress, so if you go and sign up right now, it's unlimited access for free. Wow. So if you sign up right now, get the unlimited access. When we do introduce those pricing models, I'll make sure that if you're signed up right now until we launch the pricing models, you'll stay free unlimited. So.
Wow, that's awesome.
Sweet. Well, I want to thank you, Ben, for being on the Social Media Podcast. And I will say, Ben and I, we have a lot of fun together, and I'm very grateful, not to be like an awe moment, but I'm very grateful for what he gives to our team. Yeah, on video, he's pretending to cry right now. But I think
so touched.
one thing that I've learned pretty clearly is that to have opposing thoughts and have an honest conversation about technology, where you're at, and how to move forward. Ben is he is that for our team, and it's we have grown so much. And I know, just user experience wise, there's so many cool things we're going to be doing at Saddleback in the coming year and years. And so, just thanks, Ben, for being on here. Thanks, Niels, for joining us. And for all information about the show notes and links to pastorboard.com, which we will have in our show notes and upcoming episodes, go to socialmedia.church.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.